You're listening to KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. 20 years ago, a lot of the music scene and the airwaves were dominated by grunge. Bands like Nirvana and Pearl Jam, Soundgarden and Stone Temple Pilots. And it didn't seem like there was much room for other kinds of rock. That was the environment when Roger Klein and his bandmates from the Tempe-based Refreshments started getting approached by record labels that wanted to sign them. And ultimately, Mercury Records released Fizzy Fuzzy, Big and Buzzy, putting the Refreshments on tour and on the radio. Klein has marked the 20th anniversary of the album by playing it in its entirety, solo and acoustic, and he's with me now to talk about how it all got started. Roger, you've described the Refreshments as a Tempe bar band, but were you ready to make the leap to a label and have your music recognized nationally potentially, or was there an intimidation factor?
It was a very exciting prospect to be signed by a major label, because back in the day, unsigned bands were somehow not making the cut, right? That was a stigma. So to become a signed band was a validation of sorts. I mean, but at the time, you know, I was a younger man and the atmosphere was different. The environment was different. To be signed by a major label gave you a lot of potential to have your art and commerce delivered to the public in a way that there was just no way to do otherwise.
Did you think you were ready to make the big leap at that point?
The fact is, I didn't know. I honestly did not know. I didn't know if what I was writing would be received well beyond the club scene in Tempe, or, you know, every once in a while here in Prescott, Tucson, Flagstaff, etc. It wasn't until we garnered attention of Mercury Records and other record labels too, and South by Southwest, that festival invited us to a very, very good slot, and ASCAP gave us a showcase, that I started to feel an internal validation, whereas before I had questions. You know, as a young man, as a writer, I was like, I don't know if this is good enough. I would listen to other people's things, including people locally, like the Gin Blossoms, who are contemporaries of ours, going, I think I've got what it takes. I think we've got the sound, the song, the pop sensibility, but I wasn't sure. So it was, you know, as much as I'd like to look back and say I was totally confident, I wasn't.
Now, you guys had done a little bit of recording in the Valley, but a much bigger step up to go to L.A. Were you thinking, this is awesome? You're thinking, this is kind of daunting.
Yeah, it was awesome. And the record company, Mercury at the time, this was kind of an unheard of story. When they sat us down and basically wined and dined us, and that was in Austin, their A&R person, Peter Lubin, led with, we don't want to change anything. I've seen you play. You know what you're doing. We feel it's working. You're going to be a heritage rock band as long as we don't interfere and get in your way, which was unheard of. They didn't say, you know, we want to cut your hair or frost your videos or whatever it would be, or make you write with other people. Just keep doing what you're doing. And then they walked their talk by saying, listen to the records you love, what producer, and then look at the producer credits and tell us whom you want to interview. And so we did. We took interviews with several people, and then we met Cliff Norell, who said basically the same thing as Mercury. I've seen you guys play live. All I want to do is capture that lightning in a bottle, and that's what we're going to try to do.
So with Fizzy Fuzzy, Big and Buzzy, when people have heard it, I think back to, again, 95, 96, being at the gym, whatever it may be, and you're hearing alt rock, and you're hearing Bandidos all over the place. Mm-hmm. Now, was that luck of the draw that Bandidos was the single? Do you think things would have worked out as well if you picked another single?
No, and we had the opportunity to. Once again, Mercury gave us a lot of creative freedom, and including which songs we would put on the album, how we would sequence them, and which song we wanted. They were going to give us a single, which they did. They gave us two. Actually, they gave us four, but we got cut short at two. And they asked us to choose the singles. Unheard of, you know, dream come true. Anyway, we flipped a coin between Bandidos and Blue Collar Suicide, and it came up Bandidos, and I'm really glad it did. Otherwise, we might not be having this conversation.
Well, even the lyrics of that song, they're clever, they're different. I mean, the thing that always comes back to me is the Jean-Luc Picard one, which is, of course, with the Star Trek show of the 90s.
Sure, that was very timely.
Yeah, but I mean, how did you make it all work? Because I hear it today, and I still think, okay, maybe some of the lyrics sound dated, but they still sound fun and creative.
I was just living a fantasy that pretty much a lot of people my age probably still live. You know, I was a starving artist and starving college student. Put the two together, you know, trying to focus on one career or another, determine which was going to be my life way. Basically, out of money, you know, living with too many people in squalor, Well, an American squalor. Right. And fantasizing, like, I could knock over a Circle K and make $465 work really for a long time in Mexico. And the Jean-Luc Picard reference just came kind of as an echo, as a rhyme echo for give your ID card to the border guard. And, you know, it was just there. It was an availability heuristic. It was, I'd been watching Star Trek The Next Generation. It just kind of came out, made it, and it was catchy enough to catch people's ears and make the cut.
Is there another song that doesn't get talked about a lot from that album that you think that you wish did? Like even when you went out and played the solo acoustic, which we'll talk about as well.
I think my best musical and lyrical work, and it includes like the band's sort of most, their best creative work and where we gelled the most, was on a song called Mekong. And it still carries a lot of water in my career. You know, it's been adopted by the Peacemakers as a theme song too. It works seamlessly between both bands, between Refreshments and Roger Klein and the Peacemakers. And that, it just says, you know, as cliche as it may sound, I'd like to raise another round. If your bottle's empty, help yourself to mine. Thank you for your time. Here's to life.
Here and now on KJZZ, I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix talking with Roger Klein. We're talking about the 20th anniversary of Fizzy Fuzzy Big and Buzzy, the album he made with the Refreshments. He, of course, is with the Peacemakers as well, and they've got a gig coming up April the 2nd at Talking Stick Resort. Roger, let's talk about you playing this album again all by yourself. So how'd that idea come about? How did it feel?
The idea came about because New Year's Eve of last year, we played at the Marquee Theater, and we ended up being lax in booking the opening bands. I didn't realize it was the onus was on us that we got to pick the opening bands. I thought that the club did. So with some degree of frustration, the club contacted us and said, hey, how about we get these bands in the paper, spur some ticket sales, and get this thing sold out? And I was of the opinion that it was their job, and they said no. So what are you going to do? I contacted some bands that I know and I love, but they're all booked. This is pretty last minute, within about 2 or 3 weeks of New Year's Eve. So somebody said, well, Fizzy Fuzzy's going to be 20 years old. Why don't you guys play that? And the band had a discussion about it, and we thought that it would be sort of the band goes on and then the band goes on, a little superfluous for the show. Mm-hmm. Somebody suggested I do it. I agreed before thinking it over very much. And then after I agreed, I realized, wow, that makes me really nervous because I hadn't gone back and listened to the record in some time. It was really fun, but I was very, very nervous.
Was that good stress or was it bad stress?
It was good stress. It was very good stress. I still get butterflies before I go on stage. The hardest part about my day, if I'm performing, is the last 10 minutes. I get super fidgety, and that time I'm just trying not to have a panic attack. You know, just remember what I got to do, have fun, relax. But when you're thinking all that, you're getting in your own way. But I'm very glad that I still do have that anxiety, that nervousness, or else I think I would be somehow careless.
So now 20 years on from Fizzy Fuzzy, sure feels like you have settled in, you're comfortable with it, you love it. Did you have, even with the career you've had, did you have bumps along the way going, will people stop asking me to play that?
I've been lucky. No, I don't feel that way. I know that I've been in two bands that have been pretty, very, very public. But from my point of view, it's one career. Mm-hmm. It's myself who's making this music I've been fortunate to make it with different musicians, lots of different musicians and a couple different band names. I would worry if people stopped asking for those songs. There have been, honestly, some times where I've been tempted to omit songs, but I've tried sometimes to give Mekong a rest so that I can hear it, you know, or I've tried to leave Bandidos off the set list. And invariably, it's going to get yelled out at you if you're fortunate enough to have an encore. So we make good on that.
So how has this affected the music you're going to make going forward by yourself with the Peacemakers? Has it changed anything about your vision, the reception that the 20th anniversary of Fizzy Fuzzy has gotten?
That's a really good question. No, I haven't thought about that. Maybe a little bit. I'm in the midst of writing right now. I'm always writing. How has the reception of Fizzy Fuzzy affected my vision? In my writing right now, I'm not... I'm just writing spontaneously. I'm not writing towards an ethos, a telos, a statement of purpose, which is usual for me. I usually do. But right now I'm just seeing what happens. And I'm sure that the reception, the positive reception so far that Fizzy Fuzzy has had, will have an influence on that. Trying to dig a little deeper. I look at my habits as a songwriter and a musician. I have a lot of them. I look back at Fizzy Fuzzy and I see those habits forming, but they're innocent and they're accidental, and I'm trying to find that place again.
Yeah. Roger Klein, we've been talking about the 20th anniversary of Fizzy Fuzzy Big and Buzzy, which he did with The Refreshments. Of course, you know him from the Peacemakers as well, and he'll be playing in the Valley with the Peacemakers on April 2nd at Talking Stick Resort in Scottsdale. Roger, thanks for coming in.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.